This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
No notes.
Pretty
it
cool.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
Karen, did you know that that was me and Jake singing? I know we had an amazing voice, but that was actually us singing.
Yeah, no, I could tell immediately. I was really moved.
Yeah, it was sort of this.
I thought it actually, yeah, they auto-tuned it to perfection. That was.
Yeah. Oh, you thought it was auto-tuned?
I don't know. I was oddly impressed by our vocals.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been.
I was like, I like this song.
Yeah, I couldn't tell that it was auto-tuned. It truly sounded like you guys had recorded yourselves, send it to this person, and they were like, okay, I'll send it right back.
You know, we should work with them on making a full album. Like, I feel like that song is like a pretty solid single, but we have other gems, I imagine.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have a lot more to say than that. Like, you know how an artist has to get like this pretty important message off his chest once every like 10 years, but they have to like make some other shit just for the commerce of it all. But I feel like that kind of said everything I needed to say, if that makes sense.
And that's actually what makes us true artists, because that song was like real art, one and done. We don't need anything from it. Karen Chi, welcome to the podcast.
Wait, I didn't say who wrote the song.
Oh, I thought Karen brought that song on her own also.
Brandon Peralta, full-time producer and audio engineer from Brooklyn. His website is brandonperalta.com, where you can find examples of his work. I swear it's much more polished. I don't know. That felt polished to me.
Yeah, that was a final on vinyl, if you ask
yeah.
me.
You should ask him to send a more polished version of this song.
Yeah. Thanks for sending us your first draft. But
I have a lot of other questions that could be turned into songs about shoving it in your ass right after class. Right after class. Like, you walk out and you put a fucking Jolly Rancher in your butt. That's what the song's about. Would it get you high? Would it get you by?
And would it get you by?
I think it would.
When
Karen,
did we make that song? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. No, let's move past the song and introduce Karen for sure.
Years ago.
For sure.
Karen, writer for, remind me this show's specific title.
It's Late Night with Seth Meyers.
We've heard of that
Seth
one.
Meyers. Yeah. You work with our buddy Mike Carnell.
Yes, I do.
But right now you're in Korea.
I am, yeah.
Did they beat the coronavirus? No spoilers, I know you're 20 hours ahead, but I have to know, did Korea beat the coronavirus?
I think not entirely, but mostly yes. I will say life is like 90% normal. I think you're still not allowed to have really massive gatherings. My cousin's friend went to like a show recently, and it was like a musical theater show. And so, I think most gatherings are okay. Everybody wears masks here and stuff, and there's like hand sanitizer in practically every building or elevator you walk into. So it feels like there's definitely a pandemic going on, but no one is quite as nervous as at least I was when I was back in New York.
Yeah.
So, but you wear a mask like every time you're outside and in another place.
Yeah.
So like if you went to, would you go to a movie and wear a mask? Like movie theaters are open.
I actually can't remember if movie theaters are open. I personally would not go to a movie theater just because I would be nervous the entire time. But yeah. I like go to restaurants and stuff with my family. Everyone wears a mask outside. You can't like get into public transportation or, you know, any kind of restaurant or anything without one. And people are pretty, I feel like everybody kind of gets it.
Oh, that's cool. Is anybody like, I don't believe in masks because my president is Trump or something? Do they say that there?
So my cousins who live in Seoul were saying that the only people they see not wearing masks are like white Americans. And you can tell they're American because they're speaking English really loudly.
How'd they get into Korea? How did those guys from fucking Wyoming get into Korea? Hey, what the hell are you all wearing a mask?
They rode a fucking Harley to Korea somehow.
From Huntington Beach, California, Orange County, Trump country. They visited Seoul in July.
And they were like, oh, this country's pretty good. Everyone keeps wearing this. I don't agree with. But yeah, and there was this like news thing that came up a few weeks ago, which I thought was really funny, where the police kept being like, yeah, we saw these tourists and we kept giving them free masks and they just wouldn't put it on.
I bet I know where they're from.
You do you.
Had to be Americans. How do they get in? Can I get in? Can I go to Korea? Will you let me into Korea? Do you have to sign me in like it's a dining hall?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's open?
Yeah.
To Americans? To us? We're the worst ones.
Yeah.
We're the worst people in the world.
I think South Korea's open to everybody, which is why the coronavirus hasn't been completely like tampered down. But basically, if you come, there's just like a 2-week mandatory quarantine where you have to be alone for 2 weeks in a facility. But after that, you're
just... Is
that
a jail?
Out. Yeah, no. It's not a jail unless you've like murdered someone. Then you would go to jail for a very separate reason. Right.
Yeah, and for longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Maybe like a year.
Wow.
Two-week mandatory quarantine for murdering someone and also having maybe the coronavirus.
Yeah. But they give you free food.
Wow, really?
Uh-huh.
In your quarantine, you get free food?
Wow. That sounds like an upgrade over being quote-unquote free in America. I could just chill. Is the actual staying there at this place also free? Is that paid for?
No. That one you have to pay for. But I think there's like... So I'm in this weird level of my dad is a Korean citizen, but I'm an American citizen. So I had to quarantine. I couldn't quarantine at a family's home. I had to quarantine in like a separate apartment, but I didn't have to do one of the like government facilities. And so... I did a separate apartment just because I thought it'd be easier to like live in for 2 weeks because I was also working at the time. And then the local government for the city just sent me this box of food for 2 weeks. And that was free and it was amazing. And I was like, this is nuts because I don't even live here. Like I'm not a Korean citizen. So they're just giving away food to people who are coming to stay. Jesus.
Sometimes I feel like people think America's the best country because they just haven't heard enough stories about what other countries do, right? Like we just don't actually know anything. If we just had a little more information, we'd be like, oh, they do one good thing at least. That sounds pretty solid.
Yeah,
in America, we had to sort of protest just to get unemployment benefits continued, which is just $300 a week, and we're begging for more. Meanwhile, in Korea, they're like, yeah, I know you're not a citizen, but you should probably eat, right? And they give you a box worth of 2 weeks worth of food. What's in that box?
There was like, let me think. There was a lot of this thing. It's like an instant rice thing. I don't know what it's actually called, but basically... It's a little thing of rice and you put it in the microwave for a minute and then it just becomes rice you can eat. And then a bunch of little side dishes. And then a lot of like ramen. And then these things called choco pies, which are desserts.
It came with dessert?
Yeah.
It came with dessert? That's cool.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Hold on. I'm going to look at to see how much it'll cost. Jake, we could do, a show there or something. I don't know. We can find a way to write it off. But then...
We actually can do a show because they don't allow massive gatherings, and we would probably get, like, 8 people to go to the show. So that'd be perfect.
All my family members.
All right. A flight. Jake, how much do you think a round-trip flight to Seoul costs? This is direct, nonstop.
From LA?
Round trip from LA. 13-hour flight.
I want to say $600 because I think it's going to be a deal.
$800.
That's really, really fucking cheap. Round trip.
Because you got to imagine you're also getting, yeah, you're getting free food too. So
yeah,
you're getting the food, which is like $800 worth, you know, divided by 14 days. It's like, I'll pay $30 a day for ramen. Then the flight's basically free. You could do it through Hawaii even. It's actually a really good deal. It's like an all-you-can-eat restaurant.
Wow.
So, Karen, let's do this podcast for sure, but then email me your address because I need like a place to stay. I want to make sure that the Airbnb that we're getting is up to snuff.
That's right. And if you didn't finish everything from your box, you could drop it off because we'd have the ramen. That way we'd have extra. That
yeah, would be I good. Think we'll be in the government one because we don't really know any citizens unless your father wants to vouch for
me.
We
don't know anyone. Okay, yeah. So
this is
so
great.
He would just be like, I know this guy. All we need is your dad to say that he knows Amir. That should be good and qualify Amir for any of those benefits.
That's great. All right, cool. Okay, sweet. So let's do this podcast. But yeah, I'm for sure coming to Korea tomorrow to see you.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. If you guys became like huge here, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. Huge in soul.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve that. That's my final form. All right. But for now, I guess we'll answer some questions, for this is an advice podcast. If I were you, fair. The only advice podcast on the entire internet hosted by me, Jake, and my cousin, Karen.
Nice.
Nice.
They can't kick us out if we're family.
You on a Harley?
Mr. Emperor, sir, if you're listening, I assure you, Karen is my cousin. I, Amir Chi, am cousins with Karen. All right, so these are, as you know, Karen, real questions sent from real people. All we do is need a fake name to preserve their anonymity.
Oh, for me.
For you. Oh, yeah. I need a fake a lady name from you.
Macintosh Tonkers.
Wow. Wow.
Did you write these before? Did you come up with them before? Was that on the spot? That
nope.
was
you couldn't tell okay. that's on the spot.
That you was did perfect. Look down at and see your computer, which I assume is a Macintosh. Is that where that came from?
That is actually, you know, I actually didn't realize that is what happened, but that's 100%. I could have just called her like MacBook Air.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm curious where Tonkers came from, and I really like that as a last name.
Thank you.
Is it because we're all talking?
Oh yeah, in my mind it was supposed to be Tonkers.
That's what I heard too,
but me I also too. Like Tonkers. She could be anybody and we love her.
All right, cool. Macintosh writes, due to the whole global pandemic thing, I've been working from home since mid-March. It took some getting used to, but I like it for the most part. But there's one problem. My neighbor has a large dog that barks almost nonstop while she's gone. I live in an apartment with walls that are made of paper and offer no buffer between myself and this barking dog. It's driving me crazy. I'm already stressed due to an increased workload, and having an incessant barking as the soundtrack to my workday isn't helping. I'm super non-confrontational to a fault, and I like the idea of talking to my neighbor about it, but it kind of freaks me out. So what would you do if you were in this situation? Do I need to just grow a pair and talk to her or get a better pair of headphones? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. You guys are the best. Love, Macintosh.
Okay, so it's all pair-related advice. Pair of headphones or pair of huevos.
Yeah, either way, she's growing something in twos. Mm-hmm. Karen, have you ever dealt with this? You live in New York, right?
Yeah, I do. I've never dealt with that before.
What about just an annoying neighbor in general?
Yeah, a loud neighbor, a bad neighbor. No, I feel like we've been the bad neighbor before, but I don't. Yeah. Have you guys ever had a bad neighbor?
When I first moved to New York, my neighbor that I lived above was like a garbage man, like a
sanitation an asshole
worker.
Oh, no, well, garbage man.
That too. But like, I think I was like 20 years old, just moved to New York City. I was living by myself on the Upper East Side because I knew nothing about New York. And I was like, oh, I guess like I heard of the Upper East Side. So I like had a studio in the Upper East Side. This guy like just, it was like 9 p.m. It was not that late, but he woke up so early. This sounds like, this is a terrible story. I'm like the most privileged piece of shit. But he... I didn't know what was going on because like it's early, so there's a knock on my door, and I opened it, and he just started screaming at me because I was like, I had been walking across the floor of my apartment, and every time I walked, he got so mad because he's trying to go to sleep because he has to wake up at like 3 a.m, which yeah. I get. But I was petrified because anytime I fucking stepped, he would get so, it happened like a couple times a month, you know, like it got to the point where I had to give him my number and then he would text me if I had to be quiet. But he was like very old, so he wouldn't ever text like, hey, can you keep it down? He would just like text quiet. Anyway, I had such bad anxiety about just like, I would try to just like scrape my feet across the floor if I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night because he was so sensitive.
Yeah, aren't there like some rules where it's like you have to have your apartment covered in carpeting or something if there's a neighbor complaining? I remember like some rule like that in college.
Mm.
It's like, oh, you have to keep 85% of your upstairs, if you're like in the upstairs unit, covered in carpeting because that like dampens the noise. But basically to him, you were the asshole neighbor.
I think to everyone listening to that story, I was also the asshole neighbor. There's not really another side to it.
And you were wearing the Crocs indoors, right? The clogs that you have.
I had a pair of wooden, like Croc tap shoes.
Wait,
so they should have been soft.
Have you seen that commercial? That I can't remember any of the specifics. So this is gonna go bad.
Great! I can't wait to hear
that. So that's all you can say. Have you seen that commercial? I don't remember anything about it. Have you?
How specific can we get? Can we get there?
That like family in a house complaining about they're setting it up to make it seem like, have you guys heard about those loud people? They use a word that I can't remember, and it's like wordplay. So then it pans to this family that's all tap dancing, I want to say, or in clogs. In the floor above them. Do you know
that? Does sound vaguely familiar. I'll say it was a Doritos commercial.
Okay. Perfect.
Because that's how loud the crunch was.
I have no recollection of that commercial, but that was about me and my neighbor because I was tap dancing in clogs.
Yeah, that was the year you were also trying to learn how to ollie on your skateboard. So you would yeah. bring a new board home every night and see if you could kickflip.
That's right. So I had these wooden Vans and I would ollie. And the trucks were just smashing against the floor.
There, you know, I poor also garbage man.
I have another experience with this. I've been the loud neighbor plenty of times, but a recent, very relevant experience. I fostered a dog in like 2013, and I didn't know this, but the dog had separation anxiety. Like I knew she would whine and be sad when I left, mm-hmm. and I knew she would be really happy when I got home. But I did not know that that she would cry and bark the entire time I was gone. And my neighbor told me, and he was super friendly because he loved dogs. And he was like, I just feel really bad for her. She's like really sad when you're not there. Maybe he's also telling me that I was being loud. But I feel like this is something that people would want to know as a dog owner if a dog has separation anxiety and is miserable when you're not in the house. It's helpful information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you say... So you say, oh, by the way, I'm sorry to tell you that your dog has terrible separation anxiety. She's barking all night. I guess she's sad that you're not there, or are you just there all the time and she's a stupid, loud little mutt?
He wouldn't say it like that. This lady specifically says in her question that the dog barks while this lady's away, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, quote, okay. all the time, but...
That's classic separation anxiety, bud.
Yeah. Would you think she would rather have the dog in her apartment and not make any noises, or not have the dog in her apartment and then just hear the barking?
Fascinating.
Because then you can offer to dog sit.
Oh, man. I feel like if you offer to dog sit, you should also be paid as a dog sitter, right? So maybe if this person is willing to do that, that would be good. But also, I feel like I've dog sat before, and if I'm new to the dog will still bark the first couple of days, and I don't know how long the dog would adjust for. You know what I mean?
So my right. The dog just is in your apartment barking at you now.
Yeah, at you directly.
But at least you're getting $50 a day to deal with it, whereas right now it's a little more faint, but she's not getting any cash for it.
Mm.
I feel like what Jake is saying is true. I think the owner would definitely want to know. I feel like I want to know anytime I'm being annoying to somebody. And if I feel like I'm not being annoying to anybody, my brain will be like, you are being annoying.
Yeah. I was going to say something at the intermission, but I'll let you know during the break.
Wait, what?
But you're just doing something really fucking annoying, but we could talk about it offline. I don't know. I shouldn't have brought
ideally,
it up at
all. Like, I want to know... I want to know if I'm being annoying, but like more than that, I want to know constantly that I'm not being annoying. I sort of like, if I don't hear anything, I'll assume that someone hates me. So I need somebody to be like, hey, you're good. You're doing good. I love you.
And that's every 15 minutes or something.
Yeah. Sometimes even that's not enough. Sometimes that's not quite enough either.
Yeah. It's like during an hour long meeting, I'd say you're doing great 9 times. And then you're like, it's been 5 minutes and you haven't said anything. Am I annoying to you? Am I barking?
And then I start barking. Yeah. I start barking at you. That's what I usually do.
I like to be the polite person that's like, I'll fucking dog sit your dog if you want. And then it's like, you're offering to do this person a favor by telling them that their dog is really annoying and loud.
That is cool. Yeah. And you definitely got to get paid. But then you could also, another idea is cook something really thin, like bacon or like little like thin doggy treats, and just sort of slip those under the door. So the dog is constantly happy and eating.
Cook thin doggy treats.
Yeah.
That's your advice?
You latched onto like one weird thing that I said in the entire.
That was half of it. You said cook thin doggy treats or cook thin bacon. So I said, yeah, I latched onto the doggy treats one.
I was trying to fucking make something that will slide under the door. Okay, let's not focus on the thin thing.
Imagine a dog treat so thin it can go under a door or betwixt the crack in the wall.
Let Karen speak. Why don't you let Karen speak for a fucking second?
Okay, sorry. Okay? I do have a separate.
All right, what's your thin advice?
Well, my concern is that, like, if this is a door going into an apartment, the door would be really close to the ground. So the thinness of this treat would have to be...
Great, we're back on the thinness.
Literally
everyone's
paper.
Coming at me for...
Not even wafer.
Yeah. Like a liquid.
Yeah. Like Alex Mack style going through a doorway. It has to turn into a water. A porridge.
That's not bad. You could do bacon grease because that's thin enough to be injected with like a
serum. Yeah. And then they open the door and you're like,
I didn't know you were home. Fuck.
I was trying to bake a thin treat.
I thought this through. I baked something thinner and then eventually landed on bacon grease.
I baked something else, but it was too thick for the door.
Help. All right. Is offering dog sitting, is that the best solution?
I think there's another option where you can break into the house and then feed the dog throughout the day. And then out of the house on your way back to your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying break and enter, but just to feed a dog. So it's like illegal, but then what you're doing is ultimately fine.
Yeah, I will say, I think all three of us are coming across as really non-confrontational because there's the very obvious option of just talking to this lady.
I would never.
Okay. Yeah, I'm very conflict averse. I would move before I talk to the neighbor about the dog. That's what I would do.
Okay. I think I would just talk to her.
That's nice.
I think that's the smart thing to do. That's the rational
thing. It's the mature
thing to do.
Yeah. But she's asking specifically what we would do. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave a note. I would leave a note, not even talk. Just leave a note.
Okay.
I'd be on Zillow, I'd be on Craigslist, I'd be fucking out of there yesterday.
Yeah. Is that why you moved so much in New York?
Yeah.
Every
I couldn't
6 months.
Bake thin enough treats. I tried and tried.
All right, let's thank some sponsors, take a break, and we'll be back with more questions and answers with Karen after these messages. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace? For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most saving of it yours. The average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Karen, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson in the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
Okay. Sorry about that.
We have guests.
Yeah.
And you, I haven't solicited advice.
Yes.
I have recently been doing a lot of rewatching and rereading things, and that's been really calming and helpful.
So instead of finding new things to sink your teeth into, you're like, I know what this is. It's great. And here I am consuming it again.
Yes. I will also say, I feel like I get, anytime I watch a new movie, I get very stressed out anytime there's conflict. So to begin with, it like would have stressed me out to watch something new. So I've been going back and rewatching stuff. I recently rewatched Paddington 2, which was very stressful the first time I watched it because Paddington goes to jail. But this time I was like, I know he's going to jail and I know he's getting out of jail. This is going to be a great time.
Yeah.
Wow. You ruined Paddington 2 for me.
Now I'm stressed out.
No, I just you know made what? It better for you.
I love, that's right. I actually, because you know, I'm also conflict averse. I loved the first Paddington, and I was watching the second Paddington, and I had to leave. I don't know how I had to go in the middle of a movie, but there's something very therapeutic and calming about just like a teddy bear in London. Yeah. I love it.
Wait, you went to the theater and you left in the middle of it?
No, I was watching it with Jillian one evening, and that's actually quite enough about my love life.
I'm just wondering what happened that you, that's actually you just left. Did Jillian also leave, or did she?
No, she stayed at home. I needed to have a walk, but I'd rather not get into.
Was it any because of the Paddington went to jail, and you're like, I have to blow off some steam. This is stressing
no, it was because an
tonight.
Argument that we got in during dinner, and I was sort of stewing, and then it all boiled over during the film. But I really don't want to get too deep into my marriage. And
what was the
like
what was so the I'd fight about the dinner based fight that spilled over into the movie?
It was just that I don't do a lot of the cooking or the prep work or the cleaning. I don't pull my own weight. I don't pay for the food, and she sort of went in on me for that, and I resented it, and it boiled over. But I don't want to talk about my marriage.
Did it end up like spilling over past the movie? Because it seems like you just went on a walk instead of talking to her about it.
It didn't get any better. I went on a long walk. I was gone for 2.5 days, and we haven't spoken about it since. Okay, but I don't want to get into this. I don't want to hash this out.
You're married? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have you been? We got a divorce, but I'd rather not get into my divorce on the podcast, Karen. Now, what are you rereading? Because you mentioned reading as well.
Yeah. Well, I recently reread a bunch of like Nora Ephron essay collections that I'd read a few years ago, which I also really liked because they don't have much plot to them because they're like very just short essays and they're very funny. And my brain is just dumb enough that it forgets all jokes and anything and will only remember the general plot. So when I was I was like, oh, I vaguely remember her like complaining about something or writing a list about something, but everything else felt like new and delightful.
That's perfect. Yeah. What do you feel like is happening to your brain when there's like, when you're rewatching something familiar versus, I guess, not watching something new, but like just doing something entirely different? Like what does that do for you?
For me, it feels almost like, you know, have you ever wished you could like nap, but then stay conscious the whole time?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? To like fully luxuriate.
Like a lucid dream.
Yeah, but not even dream. Just be like, wow, I'm sleeping and I don't have to do anything. Like, that's my dream. And that's sort of how I feel rewatching something and knowing exactly what's going on.
Right. It's like a zen, it's like meditation almost.
For sure. Except if I actually try to meditate, I would fall asleep.
Right.
Yes.
Then we agree.
That makes sense.
Yes.
So your dream is to dream in a way.
Yes. I'm not sure.
And would you say your biggest nightmare is to have the biggest nightmare?
It's that a teddy bear goes to jail for a crime that it didn't commit.
Actually, yes. Wait, so have you guys read this book called A Burning by Megha Majumdar?
Yes.
No.
I loved it. But
we're
well read.
We're scholars.
It just came out like a month ago. Sorry, the only reason I brought it up is
a month ago.
It's about.
Shut up, dude. You didn't read it.
It's very good. It's very stressful. And there's a part where somebody goes to jail that's like not a spoiler. It happens pretty early on. And I truly rewatched Paddington 2 after I read this book because I was like, I want something similar, but that makes me feel better.
Mm. You know, I've been reading this book series because I'm also a reader, just like like you.
Yes.
Have you read it? What's the book, Jake? Have you read this book? Karen, it's actually really fascinating.
The Burning?
What's the book?
Yeah, the Burning. Yeah.
Have you read The Burning?
Yeah, it came out a month ago. It's really good. Someone Goes to Jail.
I just finished a book that came out yesterday. I forget the title because I've already read a few books since then, but I think it's called The Fappening.
Ooh, what happens?
Why that book? It was all of the books you could have made up.
Kind of an interesting peer into a certain socioeconomic status that it's a little hard to explain. What book were you talking about, Jake?
No, it's impossible to explain. You haven't even touched on an
explanation. I cannot read.
We both know.
You get that.
Look, my book thing aside, I feel like I've also been getting a similar thing happening in my brain from watching reality TV, which I never watched pre-pandemic. But I have found that like some of the shows that I used to watch that have like death and violence and all that stuff are, it's like, that's hard for me to, like, it winds me up too tight when I'm watching.
Yeah.
So it's been very therapeutic to watch like mindless reality shows about people like fixing houses. Cause it's like, you know, every time there's a conflict, we're like, this wall's actually structural. And like, it's like, like, that's going to be solved. It's going to be fine. They're going to have a nice house at the end. Cause that's what happens all the time, you know?
That's really nice. What is this show called?
Well, there's a couple. Okay. Grand Designs is my favorite one. It's also, it's British. It's incredible. It's like, it's kind of, you know, like those like Property Brothers where they make a house in like 7 days. Mm-hmm. It's like that, except it's tracking someone's progress that they're doing like everything themselves, and it's over the course of like several years sometimes. So you're like watching the seasons change, and they're always making their houses in like the country in England, and it's very pleasurable.
Oh, that's awesome.
Highly recommend.
That's very cool.
Are you guys done talking about books? Can we fucking talk about real shit?
I was
for
talking
now?
About reality TV.
I
was really? Talking about television.
All right, but not specifically the shows that I watch.
What are you watching?
That's a good question. There's this show called Spum Island on Spice Channel. So basically, it's a bunch of porn stars that sort of get together. And they'll like,
it's called
Spum Island. And it's like, the goal of the show, the crux of the episode specifically, is 69 their way off this, not really an island, but more of a peninsula. Jake is puking water. Jesus, man. Get a hold of yourself.
They're on a peninsula. They're on a peninsula and they have to 69 to get off of it.
Yeah. In a way, yes. Sort of like that. It's hard to explain because a lot of it is character based. Yeah. And it's an OnlyFans exclusive.
You explained it so easily, so quickly.
Well, right now it's just a pilot presentation that I worked on, but yeah, hopefully coming soon.
Wait, are you in it?
I'm not in it per se, though I do play a furry, kind of like a cameraman / guy who's a toilet when necessary. So in the pilot, it comes up a few times that one of the starlets takes, for lack of a better term.
Before you say it, try to find a better term. Just try to find a better term. So I don't like for...
Yeah. She'll shit in my suit. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. And that will...
You didn't search for a better term.
And that'll happen as like an act break or whatever, even though there's not necessarily a commercial, if that makes sense. So,
excuse me.
You know,
can I just 1 second? Because Karen asked if you were in it, and then you said no, but they shit in your mouth. Leading into commercial, so you're in not. It sounds like you're the star. You're
I'm the creator. I'm like the sort of visioneer, like the Ed Harris in the Truman Show, almost.
Also, you said there were act breaks, but there's no commercials. Right?
Commercials, yes, so yeah. Like, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah,
is it written very formally?
Yeah, it's written in a very sort of classical three-act structure. It's a lot like Pride and Prejudice or a bunch of the books that I read growing up. And so it's divided in that very specific fashion where, I mean, there's only 11 kinds of stories, right? A hero's quest, 69 to get off a peninsula, a buddy comedy, forging ahead, memory lane.
The second one you said is
what's
what?
That? 69 to get off a peninsula. That's the one we actually ended up... that's the one we landed on, if you could believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we sort of sunk our teeth. This is me and my great uncle, who were like pitching the show together. He's a Hollywood, old Hollywood guy.
Old Hollywood? Anyway. How old Hollywood? Because you said great uncle.
Yeah,
he's great uncle.
Like, oh, you mean...
He's my grandfather's younger brother.
So that is... That's your great uncle. It's not, I'm sure he's an excellent uncle, but he's also, he's your great uncle.
Yeah, he's my great uncle. He's a bad uncle, but he's my great uncle. Yeah. I see. He's younger than me in a weird way.
What?
Yeah. So my grandfather had me.
Had you?
When I was, he was 30. Yeah, he was 36.
Your grandfather didn't have you. That's your dad then, buddy.
Yeah. So my dad had me at 18. My grandfather was 36 when I was born, and he had a younger brother who was born a year after me.
Whoa.
So his mom
that is
had a kid 37 years apart, 18 and 56. If that makes sense.
It makes less sense than you getting shit in your mouth between act breaks of a commercialist show about 69ing to get off of a peninsula.
No,
your life is sad and tortured and insane. It's demented.
Oh.
I'm fully on board now.
We got another.
Karen's invested in. She doesn't even like conflict.
Yeah.
Karen has to read the Wikipedia page. Yeah. You have to figure out how it ends before you watch it so you can enjoy it stress free. Do you ever do that with movies?
That's how I watch any sort of scary movie, is I will read it before. And then I will go and watch it. That's what I did for Get Out, and I did that for Parasite.
Does it ruin any of those movies?
No. I think if I went in not knowing, that tension would ruin the movie for me already. So it's better for me to know going in what is about.
Did you watch Parasite?
I did watch Parasite, and I watched it
that with my family. Oh, man. I mean, that's an anxiety-inducing movie.
That yes!
Really tough. I do the same exact thing where I read a Wikipedia page about like a scary movie, and then I never see it because I sometimes just like want to know the ending, but I get nothing from watching scary movies. They just scare me.
That is, yeah, that's like pretty much the same, except the only scary movies I've seen are Parasite, Get Out, and then I also used to include Harry Potter 3 in there, and then eventually I was like,
as a scary movie.
Yeah, because it spooked me. But now I'm like, I have to stop saying this. And I feel too old.
Which one is Harry Potter 3? Where there's like Sirius Black or something? Is
and then the Dementors.
Those are pretty scary. That's like a fucking crazy little hell that they suck people into, right? Like you're tortured and scared, and it like feels like it lasts forever. It's
And they like suck
like a hell prison
out of your face. Yeah, it was horrifying.
Yeah, I can imagine that being scary. I mean, not a scary movie, but still.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to one last question before we run out of time here. Ready?
Okay.
We just need another lady's name.
Barbara knees her.
That's a sentence. Barbara knees her.
It's a double barrel last name.
Got it. So NKNEES. Oh, yeah. Hyphen?
Barbara knees her.
Okay. Yeah. KNEES hyphen. And then this is the plot twist. It's very German. So it's E-R-R-O-U-G-H.
Whoa.
Classic German last name.
But that one's, it's silent at the E-O-U-G-H at the end. You don't pronounce that, or you do?
You don't pronounce it. Germans are famously quiet about some things, so.
Yeah, that's what they're known for. okay, Barbara writes, I'm a 22-year-old bachelorette, but trying as hard as I can to change that. I've been talking to this guy who's also 22 for a year as of this September. Before COVID struck, we went on a handful of dates and partook in some sexy nights. But back in March, he explained that while he liked me, he wasn't ready to commit to a relationship, which is fine. I respected his wishes and let it go. But just a couple months later, I get a message asking if I would be interested in dating and apologizing for his indecisiveness. Kind of a shock, but I'm an absolute simp for him, so we started talking again with clearer intentions. I have made him baked goods, curated a stellar playlist with hand-drawn cover art, gotten him gifts, and even stayed at his house for 3 days. I really like him, and I make it pretty obvious. It's been like 2 months since we started talking again, and I feel like the natural next step is to become exclusive, but I feel like since he came to me, I should leave the task of formalizing our relationship to him, and that if I did it, I might be stealing his thunder in some sort of way. What do you think? Should I bite the bullet and ask him if he's ready to move into the next stage, or just keep riding the high of talking to the guy I like and be patient? Thank you. Love, Barbara Knees. Pro.
I think she should.
What do you think, Karen?
Right? I feel like if you are, I think regardless of what the situation is, if you're trying to start a relationship with somebody, that it should be based on like being very straightforward about your feelings. And so even if she's like, hello, I would like to be exclusive and very official with you. And he's like, ah, I actually don't know. That's like much better to know now than later on.
Yeah.
You look
I like and I think been... that's really stealing his thunder. And I'd hate to have my thunder stolen.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
I bet if she brings it up, he'll be like, I was going to ask you and you stole my thunder.
My thunder!
Thief! I feel like I've been this 22-year-old guy, and what's going on in his mind is like, I just won't ever bring it up, and then it'll either happen or not, or whatever. We'll see. And she's like, I just wanted to like make this official step and become exclusive. So I feel like he's not waiting to do this special thing, and I don't think he'll think you're stealing his thunder, but I do think he's kind of passive.
But I guess he is maybe passive. But I've also been in the position that she's in where I'm like desperately liking somebody and just want them to say that they love me like way too early. So like I'm on board with Karen's idea of being straightforward. I feel like there's a way to do it where you're not like, what are we? That doesn't feel like it produces some like weird thing in me to be like, I want you to make a decision, you know? Mm. But to be like, you can just bring it up. You can like start a conversation and say, what are you thinking about this? Are you seeing anybody else? Do you want to be exclusive? And not really be like, what's the definition of what we're doing? It's also like kind of dangerous to be promiscuous right now. Yeah. So I feel like it's extra okay to be like, are you fucking anybody else? I really need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not because of this relationship, just because of coronavirus reasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also feel like there's definitely a world in which he thinks this is exclusive and has thought this has been exclusive the whole time. And so if she approaches it weirdly, you know, being like, hey, it's okay if we're not, like, just FYI, he could be like, what the heck? You've been my girlfriend this whole time.
Yes. Yeah. That's so true. Right. The framing that's in her mind right now, which is like, I want to say stuff and he doesn't. And like, what does this mean? Like, it assumes a lot on his part. Like, he could totally just be like, yeah, she sleeps over for 3 days at a time. She makes me baked goods. She made me a mixtape. That's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Some people aren't conversation people because there's those different love languages. Mine is words of affirmation. And I need to hear multiple times that somebody is my girlfriend for me to be like, okay, good, then it's official. And I'll say I love you every time we leave a room. And that's how I'll know. And sometimes if I go to work and I say I love you and you don't say anything, then I feel like we're breaking up. So ciao. Welcome to your living nightmare.
These are your vows.
A great way to establish this is if she asks him like, hey, how do you best want to be spoken to or like affirmed? That actually, it sounds cheesy, but I bet that works really well.
Oh, yes. So what's the question specifically?
You just have a conversation about love languages. Or Karen, you said, how do you like to be affirmed?
Yeah, which I actually, in hindsight, what a weird question. Don't ask that.
Well, out of nowhere, it feels weird.
Yeah.
Quick question. I totally realize I don't know how do you like to be affirmed.
I'm ordering a pizza. We'll do half pepperoni and half mushrooms if you don't feel like having meat. How do you like to be affirmed?
What's that? Topping wise, how do you want me to be like that? I respect you and I'm exclusive with you. And do you like extra cheese?
I made you a mix CD.
Should I address it to my lover, my boyfriend, or just my main bitch? That's a ludicrous lyric. I would never use that word in the wrong or in the right. I don't think it's mine to use. And I'm actually offended you set me up, Karen.
Yeah, well, I'm actually offended you used that word.
Really? Wow. I guess Jake's at fault here.
I do.
Jake laughed at this whole thing, which I think is more offensive than anything I've ever said.
Even the whole 69 island thing.
It's a 69 island.
Do you have to 69 the peninsula? Like, is it a physical thing? Or is it, do you 69 with another person? If you 69 successfully enough, you both get to leave the peninsula.
Yeah, like, okay, thank you, Karen. These are all buying questions, and that's good. Because I'm so trying to sell this pilot in the room.
Shelly, let me take this, because I feel like I can close the deal in the Zoom. Imagine rolling down a hill, but off
Zoom.
A peninsula. And you're 69ing. This has to be a direct 20-episode order, otherwise we're walking. I have a Holy cousin shit. At Quibi, so don't think I can't walk this across the Zoom.
And a great-grand-nephew at Hulu.
Who is older than you.
Who's 28, but doesn't look a day over 90.
Aunt.
Your family tree is so fucked up.
It's a circle. Your family tree is a weed.
A tumbleweed. All right. So have a conversation with him. We don't think that he's saving it for a special occasion and that you're stealing his thunder.
No. I also feel like you could totally... when I was 22 and I was dating other 22-year-olds, I feel like nobody wanted to commit at that age. You know what I mean? So there's a world in which you... brings it up, he's like, no, and it hurts, but it's so much better to know now and get out of there than like grow really attached to this person and have him be like, actually, I have six other women I'm seeing or whatever.
Yeah. That is right. Knowledge is better than limbo.
Wow, that's a powerful phrase. Knowledge is better than limbo.
Thank you. It's the slogan for 69 Peninsula. And I just got a series order in the Zoom.
Wow. Wait, did you just steal that idea away from Amir and then sell it?
That's right.
Bravo. That's well done.
Now let's limbo. Do, 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 do. Knowledge is better than doing this. Da, 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 da. That was fun. Thanks for coming by, Karen.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you want to promote?
Oh, no, but I appreciate the offer.
Wow. Literally anything.
That's a fucking
Twitter
power
account.
Play.
That's Instagram.
Fucking awesome.
Facebook Live.
I'm on Twitter. You can follow me
okay.
on Twitter. Yeah. I've been retweeting a lot of Redwall feasts. Do you guys know this account?
No.
It's great. So I would like to promote this account that I'm actually not related to in any way. It's called Redwall okay. Feasts, and people just post, or it's this bot that posts new versions of the food that they used to talk about in Redwall, the like children's book series, and it sounds amazing.
Ooh, okay.
What is the? So, I've never heard of that children's book series.
Oh wait, okay. So, this is exciting. Redwall is like, it's like a thing of. Do you know what's like? I'm explaining this so badly. It's like that commercial. It's a bunch of little animals that live in fields in England, and there's an abbey called Redwall Abbey. It was like a massive series, and they all like go to war against each other. But the people in the abbey, or the animals in the abbey, are like the good animals, and they also have little feasts. And the author does a really good job describing the food, and it's usually like pages and pages of food descriptions. Before it gets to any sort of plot or character.
This is incredible. I'm looking at it right now. I never even knew about Redwall, but this is right up my alley, right next to Paddington. All right, sweet.
I'm glad you're
And what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is just my name. It's Karen Chi, but with an extra E at the end.
Cool. Karen Chi. So check her out for that Redwall retweet shit.
Yes.
Opening theme song was written by, ooh, I forgot his name. Do you guys remember? He
Brandon
had a really
Peralta.
Good name. Wow, great memory.
Thank you.
Brandon Shit. Peralta. How did you remember that? My
it's
God.
Like, I can't believe I remembered that and then like nothing else that I was trying to talk about.
Yeah. You just passed that Donald Trump dementia test. I gave you a name an hour ago. Man, camera, TV. And I had it right there, right off the bat. Brandon Peralta, that's right. And this closing one was written by some Australian guy. Hold on, I have his name. Oscar.
Karen
Joe.
Knows that name too.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this has been parodied yet. but I parodied Check Yes Juliet for If I Were You. I'm a mega pop punk fan, and he's in a pop punk trio down here in Australia called Sal and the Mandas.
Oh my god, also, can I join the band? Can we make a quartet, please?
Well, he's starting
nothing,
to release
I've his, never wanted nothing, like anything more in my life than to be in a pop punk band in Australia. Fuck!
It's already a trio. You can't join. The trio is done.
But he's starting to do his quartets.
He's starting to do his own stuff, and his Instagram is It's Oscar Joe, with links to his Spotify. So if you like this theme song, check out It's Oscar Joe on his Instagram for links to his Spotify. All right. Thanks for everyone that's written in a question or theme song. You can do that all to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. And thanks to Karen for making time. I assume it's 5 in the morning there in Korea.
Yeah, plus another 5 hours. It's 10 a.m. It's a very good time to be awake.
All right, perfect.
Have a great day today. Damn.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Thank you. And thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back as soon as possible. Bye, everybody.
If I were you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.